we've really drank the Kool-Aid in terms of, you know,
I'll say.
Thank you guys for what you've done. You know, thanks for the hospitals and for the universities and for the churches.
We'll take it from here. Yeah.
We'll take it from here. You know, you can kind of keep doing what you're doing. You know, we're not going to interfere too much, but just don't really get in the way. And we're just kind of like, okay, because there's this acceptance of like what Lila was saying, like, oh, it's not our place to have that type of political power. We just need to be humble because our kingdom is not of this world. Welcome to The Crunch, the only podcast with the most humorous Catholic podcast host in the world. It's your boy, Ethan.
And I'm Patrick. The Crunch is a Catholic podcast where Ethan and I sit down and talk about a Catholic topic, usually making jokes, more about the jokes than the topic. But we're glad you're here. We think more people should have conversations like these. And Ethan recently...
I won an award.
He won an award, and so congratulations are in order.
Well,
you beat me handily.
You know, I don't know if it was handily. I'm sure it was very close, but
it was not. I wasn't even a runner-up.
I think we're gonna have to sit down and renegotiate. You and me. I think I've been giving up too much. You know. I think when I think about it, maybe I do all of the work.
So Ethan won an award.
I did win an award.
Funniest podcast host.
Yes.
On the Catholic Best, which is a new website.
I don't know what it is. I think their whole business model is we're going to talk about people and we're going to make them feel good and then they'll talk about us. And it's a really good business strategy.
It's genius.
Actually.
It's genius.
This is, the Oscars. But for way less important stuff.
It's genius because it's what Fisher's Net Awards was trying to do, but Fisher's Net was all like they were not so the Catholic Best is a website, you can go to it, catholicbest.com, not sponsored, and they have
something in the mail. Did you see that?
That's really nice of them. That's
because awesome. I'm a winner. They messaged us and said, "Hey, we like to send our winners something in the mail."
Yeah.
Wow.
So you hold this title for a year, and I'm assuming that next year they're going to vote again, and then I'm going to win.
Well,
and then
we could be looking at a back-to-back situation.
we could be looking at a 1996 Seattle Mariners.
Interesting that you picked the Seattle Mariners and not the other really famous basketball team from 1996 that won multiple titles in a row.
I think the Mariners did.
They probably did, but I think I'm maybe that. We're maybe more of a Jordan Pippen
the 2006
Sammy Ray
Florida
Jr.,
Gators,
whatever his name. Oh, the 2006
Florida Gators went back to back.
They did go back to back in football and basketball.
I might be confusing a Drake song with a Macklemore song. I might be combining the two.
I don't think I'm old enough to listen to either of those.
I don't think my mom would let me.
I'm at the point.
Macklemore.
This is so boomery of me, but I'm at the point where I listen to like a hip hop song and I'm like, what is this? maybe it's just my tastes are so.
Why are they talking like that, huh?
Narrow, but I'm like, what are you saying, man? Like, I know you're good at rap. I listen to If You're Reading This, It's Too Late. I enjoyed my time in 2015 with all the rest of us. We all liked God's Plan, you know.
Oh yeah,
who didn't?
We all who
but
didn't?
Now
there's a video somewhere on the internet.
I forgot about that.
It's there.
Dude.
It's somewhere.
And
Drifton has it. I hope that.
Wow.
No,
we have to put that on YouTube right
probably,
now.
It's probably the worst thing you've ever seen. Imagine just a bunch of Wonder Bread dancing to God's Plan.
Wow.
That's what it looked like.
That's crazy. When I went to Steubenville, Ohio over spring break my senior year to visit Patrick and to do a live show, which was just about 6 years ago, by the way. My Facebook reposted the live stream. Horrible audio. You can't hear a word that we're saying.
Incoherent, yeah.
It was awful, but I went to Steubenville to do a live show with Patrick, and Tristan who was a part of the New Catholic Generation mm-hmm. crew, he made a video of us to God's Plan by Drake. And it was just clips from like our trip. And
so nice of him to do.
It was really nice of him to do. It's also such a funny video. If I find it, I'm going to put it in the Discord. I'll tag
it. bit.ly/crunchdiscord to find that video. Tristan probably has it. I'll just reach out to
him. But I feel in multiple ways. So you talk about Drake, but I also, but in other ways, I think I'm more with it than maybe I should be. So I was going, me and my wife were laying in bed. We were going to bed a couple nights ago and we're talking and I was laying there. I was drifting off to sleep and I just kind of went, sticking out your gut for the Rizzler. And she said, she like sat up and she's like, what?
Dude, your tweet about the synod was so funny. I did. Yeah. I was like,
nobody would like it, but I thought it was funny. And I'm going to try to start tweeting more things that I'd like, you know, instead of thinking about what the people out there like. I tweeted to the tune of that song, sticking out your soul for the council. You're so a company. You're so pastoral. I just want to be your synod. Because I thought it was pretty clever. That would have gone off 5 years ago. Not today.
Yeah, that would have been not today. Anymore. Not these days.
It doesn't matter. Man. But I had to explain to my wife the song and then like the individual terms in the song.
Yeah.
And she was like, why do you know this? And I had to like really like she fell asleep and I was still up thinking about that. Like I couldn't answer her. Like, why do I know this?
It's you explained the song. Did you explain the original song that's based on?
I didn't because that song's lyrics are ghastly.
They're sad.
They're just not appropriate for human consumption, I think.
Yeah.
I think sticking out your gyat for the Rizzler is a way better. It's unironically a better song than the original version of the song because it's not about sexual relations, essentially.
I cannot find this meme, but I've explained it to you, and I remember seeing it on Instagram and just absolutely dying because it was it was the last scene in The Lorax. Not the last scene in The Lorax, but that's the let it grow. That's in The Lorax when the one slur is sorry,
the one slur. There's one slur in The Lorax. Which one is it?
Which
slur do they rip?
Bro, did you know that British people call meatballs? I didn't know this. Anyway, don't look it up. British people, it's not just like, oh, the cigarette, they call it that. That's like kind of light. They just call meatballs the full F slur.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't know. How did I not know that? British people, are you doing?
I love this Wikipedia entry because it's just the F slur parentheses food.
That's a decision.
That's incredible.
The meme is in The Lorax when the one slur has taken all of the trees away and all of the little babushka bears or whatever are like leaving Lorax land and they're all sad. And all of the captions are Kai Sinat, the Rizzler, skibbity toilets, and then the Lorax just says the effing Lorax. and he pulls himself up by the seat of his pants, and I saw that. I should have saved it, but I was like, no one's gonna understand this.
That's the problem with today.
In sixth grade.
The problem with today and the internet, the way that it is that you can see the funniest thing you've ever seen. And if like you click the wrong button or if you like scroll past it or if you leave the app, you will never see it ever again.
It's a deep sadness that I have about
some videos. Yeah. There was one video that I was so desperate to find that I started a new Instagram account with no followers and I just started scrolling through the reels with like a fresh algo to try and see if I could get it back. And I did.
No way. I've had that happen too where I go and I find a video that I thought was lost forever and I was like, I'm saving this. I don't know when I'm gonna use it, but I'm saving it.
I think that's just the new like you have to be in a way, You are embarrassing dad video too.
It was how to make cultivating bluey toast.
How to make bluey toast.
Yeah, how to make toast that looks like Bingo from Bluey. I texted Phoebe. I was like, you should do this for Leo. He'll like it.
Were you smoking weed at the time? Like, what is this? Putting faces in food is like a midnight 17-year-old, you know.
It's cute. We make hot dogs into little octopuses, and then we give them to our son.
You make the hot dog into an octopus.
Yeah, you cut the hot dog in half, and then you cut, you know, once, twice into quarters, then you cut it into eighths. You cut the hot dog like from here down. Like, this is the hot dog. You cut from here down into
Like a squid than he is an octopus.
Yeah, it's more like a squid, but you can do it into eight pieces. Yeah,
I see what you're saying.
So we that's how we feed Leo hot dogs, and he doesn't care. He doesn't know what an octopus is. He just likes.
You're just trying to spice up your marriage a little bit, you know.
I think that's what it is. Things have gotten a little dull, so I'm.
Babe, you haven't touched your hot dog octopus. What's wrong?
Your hot dog octopus. He's just happy that he has something to dip in ketchup. You know,
yeah.
He's just ecstatic about that.
Did you see the video of my son saying Applebee's?
Applebee's? No.
It was on Discord, but I'm gonna pull it up for you because it's pretty good.
Today, Leo said like
Ready?
An evil supervillain.
Peter, can you say Applebee's?
Applebee's.
How did he learn that?
We have a unique Applebee's. Diet in our home. I'm thinking of posting them and trying to get a sponsorship deal. I think Applebee's would see that. And
kids are like, my dad is teaching me very important things. Applebee's is probably a very important word that I need to learn. Leo obviously knows how to say more and banana. He's not quite yet at that spot where he can say two words, but today he did. He was like, more. And I was like, there's no, like, more of what? And he was like, banana. And I was like, there's no more bananas. And he goes like an evil genius, more banana. It's very funny.
He's right.
I died.
Yeah. Peter's at the point where he just repeats everything that I say. So I can just kind of get him to say stuff that I think is funny.
Awesome.
It's amazing. It's like, Peter, do you want to go see Dune?
Little parrot.
Dune? You want to go to Arrakis? Arrakis? It's great. And so I can use him. Go say to mom, pizza. He goes over, mom, pizza. So then we're like trying to get him. I'm trying to do like an espionage network to try and like use my child and like manipulate him to like get what I want. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, like how, really like, the, yeah, yeah, like because I'm his dad, you know, and I'm in charge.
Yeah,
I can
exactly.
deploy him
at will, to
like in StarCraft. He's one of my Marines. So I don't know is it wrong that I know the Gyat for the Rizzler song? Is that a problem, or am
I think you might have to go to confession.
Okay.
But
the problem with sins like that is you have to explain to the priest what it is. Like, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. I stared too long at the Gyat. And Father's going to be like, stop the confession. Pause.
What does that mean?
You're going to have to explain that to me.
And then you have to explain to an 80-year-old man.
You have to explain to an 80-year-old man why it was wrong that you were the Rizzler and why Phantom Tax is actually a violation of the stealing commandment.
The sixth commandment.
The sixth commandment. I couldn't think of which one it was. I had to bail out.
Nope, I was wrong. That's
five is kill. What's five? Five is four is mom and dad.
Five is
five,
kill.
Six
is adultery.
Oh. Dang.
Yeah.
They should really just have steal subsection adultery. Because adultery
is
really
steal
just
a commandment?
Stealing.
I feel bad. I shouldn't be asking this.
We have a course about this.
No, we don't have a course about the commandments. You don't need to worry
about that. We have a
course
about, you have to know the commandments to be Catholic. That's
in the
fact.
Old Testament. That's in the Old Testament. You don't have to know the Ten Commandments.
We don't deal with that anymore. Yes, thou shalt not steal is a commandment, brother.
No.
What do you mean no? Don't look at me and say no.
I said oh.
Oh.
Oh, man. That's not good. I got to apologize.
I got to make some phone calls.
I got to apologize to all those people I defrauded.
If you defraud someone, isn't that restoring money to them?
Good point. I had to apologize to all those people I frauded.
Yeah. It's, what's that word that's like, the word that whether you put the I in front of it, it's like the same. It's like like reversible and irreversible, except it's not that at all.
No, it's not that. I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
Do you know
about.
Which words I'm talking about? Anyway.
I don't know what you're referring to.
Doesn't matter. It's not important. It's Holy Thursday, Maundy Thursday, if you're a jerk.
How can it be both Monday and Thursday? That doesn't make any sense. Monday, Thursday. All right, it's fine. It's Maundy sounds like Monday. I've always thought, I was like, it's just, what is that? Yeah, if you're a British and you call meatballs something horrible.
Uh-huh.
Why do you got to call things different?
We are deep in the bowels of the Triduum at the moment.
Yes, what? Right now, but you're listening to this on Easter Sunday.
But it's Easter Sunday for you, so bully for you. Congratulations. You've made it. We are Isn't still here exciting? Back in time, trapped in an eternal Triduum that never ends. What a true hell, if you think about it.
Yeah, we are stuck here forever. That was one of my podcast promos, like, help, I'm trapped in a podcast.
Yeah.
And only if you listen to it will I be freed. I thought that was funny, that the podcast is like a prison. And only by listening to it are we brought back to the present day.
I do think the podcast is a prison, but not for the reason that you think it is.
Yeah. I can't stop doing it.
I'm imprisoned.
Because I'm so in deep.
I've been doing this for so long, and I'm so addicted to it, and I have no other way. If I didn't do the podcast, I think I would go clinically insane. Like, I would need real medicine.
If I did not, it's like withdrawal from a drug. I would need methadone. Mm-hmm. If people didn't mention
method one,
if people didn't mention to me that they listened to my most recent podcast, like the dopamine hit that I get from people saying they listened to my podcast is irreplaceable, and I would not be able to survive without it.
I think I would survive. I would just have to figure out a different way. So I think I would have to become like a forest man, and I would have to speak to the animals.
Like the Lorax.
Kind of like the Lorax. I was thinking more of St. Francis. Hmm. Do you ever think St. Francis hung out with the animals because he couldn't make any real friends?
Dang. The Franciscans will never recover.
No, they won't. It's like we all wear brown because we just don't know. We don't know how to dress well. We can't figure it out. I don't think that's actually true about St. Francis, but I do think it's funny to imagine just all of the saints. Like, what if he did what he did because he just couldn't make any friends? And then God took it and turned it into the great, you know, the wonderful, beautiful things that he turned it into.
He writes straight with crooked lines.
Whoa.
Our Lord does. Yes.
He closes a door and opens a window and refuses to pay the electricity bill.
It's such a good joke. So we're here. We're here back in the Triduum.
Yeah.
And how has your Holy Week been going? Have you been focused on Holy Week, or have you been distracted by work like me?
I'm distracted by work. I think I yearn for the days of when I was a missionary and I could just basically take the whole week to pray.
Oh, yeah.
And go to every liturgy, tenebrae, all the stuff. You know, I can't.
Man.
Not being able to go to something like tenebrae is like sad. And I guess I could go. It's just not very feasible with a child.
Yeah, it's tough because we're trying to figure out, okay, which of the Holy Week services do we want to go to? You know, it's because we really can. We really can only go to one, and it can't be the Easter Vigil because we can't take Leo.
Right.
This is why you need to make Protestant friends so they can babysit while you go to Turtle.
That's a good point. That is a really good
Shabbos point. Shabbos Goy, if you will.
We are good for 3:30 Good Friday, and that's about all that we'll be able to make until 7:30 a.m. Sunday morning.
Yep.
Easter Mass, which will be
great.
Man,
we used to have sunrise on the beach Easter Mass, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and it was amazing. And then we would make omelets on the beach after Easter Sunday Mass.
Isn't Sunrise on the Beach the name of a drink?
No, you're thinking of
Sex
something.
On the Beach is yes. what I'm thinking of. Okay.
We don't do that on the beach.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good. Yeah. It's hard to, I don't think, is it just because we're like not virtuous people, you know, or is
I mean,
it just,
that might be part
is
of it.
Is it just impossible to have a good Holy Week if you're like a working guy, you know?
I think you and I are at a unique stage in our lives where we are overworked and this is a season. Especially yeah. young children.
It's hard to, it's hard to not get really frustrated. One thing that I do not abide by, and you know this from this week, is whining and complaining.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't, if there is something that you don't like about your situation, then you need to do something about it. Like, you can go and fix it, right? Or at least ask for help. You know, there's nothing wrong with asking for help. Mm-hmm. But when someone is in a situation where they're, you know, it seems like they're not really making any progress and they're just complaining. I just have very little empathy for that because it's like, yeah, it's hard for you, but it's also hard for everybody. So I'm thinking specifically about like this graph that's just been haunting my dreams where it's, you know, in 1970 or 1980 or whatever, the comparison of the average income to the average house price, right?
Right.
Yeah. And then the one for 2024, where it's average income to average house price. And the average income has gone up by like 20 grand, you know, and then the average house price has gone up by $300,000, $200,000, $50,000, something like that. And I'm just like, I just think about that. And it's one of those things where it's like, am I being overworked because, and are you being overworked because like we're workaholics or because we feel like we have to work or because we're like we're not okay enough with poverty, you know, or like there's this weird thing where like we feel like we need more money than we actually do, you know? There's this like Christian thing where it's like we need to trust God and not, you know, try to do it all ourselves. Or is it just because things are so abominably screwed in terms of like the macro of it? That like the only option is to work this much and like we don't really have a good, I feel like I have no good mentors for like this phase of my life with like the situation that pretty much all of my friends find ourselves in, which is like everybody kind of has two jobs, pretty much everybody, the wife has to work. And if the wife doesn't work, then they're really struggling to get by basically. Mm-hmm. And it's like everyone's trying to have as many kids as they can have because there's only so many child rearing years. And so it's like everyone wants to have lots of kids. And the husbands are just like stressed. Like I go to guys groups and everyone just seems to be like overwhelmed by trying to make it all work.
Yes.
And I'm like, is this our fault? You know, like, are we doing this to ourselves? Are we just not being Christian enough? I don't know.
I mean, at the end of the day, things cost a certain amount. And I'm very rarely like I
there's some things that are free if you
I do the best things in life. I have thought this myself of like am I falling into that trap of oh, I just need a little more, like a little more and I'll be satisfied, a little more and I'll be satisfied. Am I falling into that trap?
Yeah.
Or are things just crazy expensive?
Is everything actually getting more expensive?
And I think it might be a mixture of both, but
yeah.
I mean, the reality is that I think that it's not even a matter of over the decades, things have gotten more expensive. This is a better example of, I think this is an emblematic example. My rent doubled. That shouldn't happen. Right?
When did your rent double? In how long of a time span?
I was paying in Pittsburgh, my one bedroom apartment cost $800 a month. And then the new company came in and said, hey, when your rent renews, it's going to be $1,600.
That's crazy.
And I was like, that's awful. Like that shouldn't be allowed.
That shouldn't be legal. Yeah.
And I checked because there are rent price increase laws in some states, not in Pennsylvania.
A 100% increase seems to be wrong.
Crazy. And yeah. And part of it was they were pricing it at what they were going to charge once they renovated it. But you can't tell me
that
gray laminate floors are the are worth $800 more per month for a one bedroom apartment. It's absolutely insane. And so part of it, and it wasn't even like an uppy part of Pittsburgh. It wasn't even really Pittsburgh. It was Imperial, Pennsylvania, which
Newcastle.
5 minutes down the road was a cow pasture. You know, it was across the street. Actually, it was cows, and so things are getting more expensive in a matter of years. It's mm-hmm. that's the scale that it's on, and I think you probably would agree with me when I say this, but I'll see. It's
no.
There is a structural problem.
Yeah.
With the way that our, let's just say, cost of living works.
Mm-hmm.
And in the past, in America, answer to, hey, the American economy has a structural problem that is harming people. The Catholic Church stepped in and did something about it and created a parallel economy. The example is, ironically, the Knights of Columbus. The Knights of Columbus were started because they identified an issue where Catholic children, their parents were dying and they were getting taken away from Catholic parents and specifically given to Protestant families. This is a documented thing that happened.
Whoa.
They were actually
colonizers.
Uh-huh. They were taking Catholic kids that parents passed away, like the factories or whatever. And they would, or a single mom, they would say, you can't live anymore. So the parents would have to, they were basically orphans, even though it was only one parent was gone.
Hmm.
They would send the kids to live with Protestant families. They would de-Catholicize them. And that's why Father McGivney
impose their beliefs on other people
in the United States of America.
No,
not
fucking
no. But I've been reliably informed that the Catholic Church is oppressive, so that couldn't possibly be the case. Anyway,
no, they're just deprogramming those kids from those evil things that they believe
about. Anyway, so when there was a structural problem like that was harming Catholics, the church stepped in to make sure that we were shielded from that. And unfortunately, the Catholic Church has kind of ceded all of its ground in terms of being a structural body. It's not even like a, it's not, we were talking about the Masonic Lodge that's in your town. That basically runs
the town government.
Runs the town. Yeah. And I was talking to a friend about it and he was like, that's because maybe we said this in the podcast, but they provided a structure around which the community could organize. And then because they had that structure, they were able to take over the actual like legislative body. But it had to be a real power first before it could be a constitutional power. We've ceded our real power.
Yes.
We don't even have influence in our communities. Did you know that Father Mike Scanlon became the interim police chief in Steubenville? Did you know that?
That's awesome.
Crazy.
He could arrest people.
There were race riots in Steubenville when Father Mike was the president.
How long were the races?
So like legitimate race riots in the 70s or the 80s, I don't know. And
like people killing people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, wow.
And the problem was that the white cops were policing black neighborhoods.
Right.
And so the cops were getting attacked. And so what he did was he partnered up every white cop with a black cop.
Nice.
And so everybody patrolled, like all the cops. And so he organized the police. Like he was such a power. Is that where
all those movies come from?
I think so.
You know, just the buddy cop, you know, I'm different from you, but we're going to work together because Chief asked us to.
Yeah. Rush Hour was actually based
off
the, of
with, Father with Chris, with Chris Tucker and Jack Chan. Who didn't know any of his lines in English. He was just, or he knew them in English. He said them, but he didn't know English. Like he was just saying the words in the script, but he didn't know what he was saying, which is really funny.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you for listening to this episode of The Crunch. Sorry to interrupt what I'm sure is a stimulating intellectual conversation, but I wanted to pause the episode real quick to let you hear from some of our sponsors. We will be back right after this.
That's an example of real power being exerted, and we really don't have that anymore. We don't have you know, it's
this
just,
is interesting. This is interesting.
Your point that you made years ago that everyone got pissed about, it's like we could buy property and sell it at break even to Catholic families. We could do that. We choose not to.
But parish priests are too busy. It's like, well, no, it has nothing to do with that. It's like you would get people to do it with the the credit and the resources available to the church, which I acknowledge are not much, but collectively the church has more power than an individual family does.
Yeah.
So it's not like a stupid thing. So no, this kind of dovetails with
like, people might be corrupt, and it's like people are already corrupt. That's the problem we're trying to solve. Is that BlackRock is that I keep getting texts from my parents' house saying, "Hey, do you want to?" It's like from a bit. It's, "Hey, do you want to sell your property off market to us?" Like, no, I don't want to do that. Come on.
Yeah, I think what we were trying to say is that we are making a bet that the people running the nonprofit that's connected to the Catholic Church that would sell homes to people would be, on the whole, less corrupt than BlackRock, which I think is not that crazy of a gamble, generally.
Yeah. You should also optimize for assuming virtue, because people then rise to that instead of optimizing for vice, because then people just are vicious.
Yes.
That's my opinion.
There is a big controversy going on Twitter right now because Candace Owens got fired you remember this from the Daily Wire. You haven't heard about this.
No, I'm just
you don't know who Candace Owens is.
So I do. I do know who that is. Someone replied to me talking about a Cardinal Victor Fernandez. And I was like, I do not know who that is. And he made me feel like an idiot.
That's the DDF guy. That's the, I'm going to kiss you with the kisses of my mouth.
More like the guy. Never mind. Go on.
Carry on. So so there's all this drama that is kind of precipitated around Candace Owens because she got let go from the Daily Wire ostensibly because of her comments. She had some like debates with a Jewish rabbi and they're talking about the pornography industry and sort of the Jewish involvement in the origins of the pornography industry. And she was kind of asking questions that people were not enjoying the questions being asked. Cause I do think she was kind of going about it and maybe not the best, like I'm not, she wasn't trying to help people. She was trying to say like, well, the Jews did this, which doesn't really help like stop it from happening. You know,
yeah,
it's just it's kind of like a, it just, if it, even if it's not anti-Semitic, it just feels anti-Semitic. Right. And this is such
it's
a sensitive,
helpful. Yeah.
It's just not helpful. There is a difference. So she got fired by Benjamin Shapiro. And so now there's this whole thing where people are saying Christ is king. And now there's this whole other wave of you can't say Christ is king because that's also anti-Semitic. That's an anti-Semitic dog whistle, which is kind of goes along with her dog whistle paradox thing.
Which is
like, if you think
that is the dog whistle paradox that I pointed out. I was like, so if you say Christ is king and then someone says that's anti-Semitic, it's like, well, you're admitting that.
You're admitting that the Jews deny that Christ is king.
Yeah.
That they oppose the kingship of Christ. So there's this post from Lila Rose, who I have a lot of respect for. She does a lot of great work. But I think she made a misstep here. Her tweet, she does a video, and her tweet says, "One can say Christ is king, and the Lord may say, I never knew you. Christ did not come to establish political reign here on earth. He chastised the followers who asked it from him, saying, my kingdom is not of this world. It is not the Christian project to idolize social or political power, demanding special respect or position from others because Christ is king. In fact, this is the opposite. We are called to be salt and light, remembering that the faith we possess is a gift given to us by God, one we do not deserve. We are called to love, to serve, to share the faith in word and in deed, and to pick up our cross and follow him until we can enter his eternal kingdom." So this is interesting because there's all this conversation about Christ being king, and everyone's saying you can't say Christ is king because it's anti-Semitic, or it's just like not true. We're supposed to be humble. We're supposed to, you know, Christ's kingdom is not of this world. And so to say Christ is king, and that means that Christians should be able to make decisions that are binding on other people, is wrong. And you're saying that Christians should be able to have real power to be able to do things that are just. So how do you defend your position from the position of Lila Rose and other people that are saying, well, we can't say Christ is king because it's wrong to have power?
One thing she said was, she said that Jesus chastised his followers who ask for political power by saying that my kingdom is not of this world. That's not the, that's two separate instances. James and John asked for seating, literally, sitting at, it's important. When James and John asked for earthly political power, he said to sit at my right and my left is not mine to give, but are you willing to drink the cup? And then when Pilate asked him, so you are a king, he said, my kingdom is not of this world, which can mean one of two things. It means that the kingdom does not come from this world, or the kingdom does not exist on earth. And I think that this is actually an age old debate in the medieval mm-hmm. world, which led to liberalism, was should Christians hold the temporal power and the eternal power, or just one or the other? But I mean, it's,
I got a question. I'm reading this. So I got this book. I don't know if you read it, but it's, it says here, Matthew chapter 3, in those days, John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, quote, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I mean, that to me means that, like, there's something here on earth that is connected to the kingdom. And this, like, comes up, the whole gospel of Matthew is essentially about making the kingdom of heaven present on earth through the ministry of Christ and his followers, through mm-hmm. like serving the poor and through healing people and through charity and all of those things. Like, that's what the kingdom of heaven on earth is.
We do like
a
simple syllogism here.
Tell me, man.
The Catholic Church is the kingdom of God on earth, correct?
Based. Yeah.
Like the kingdom of God is the Catholic Church in heaven, the Catholic Church in purgatory, the Catholic Church on earth. The Catholic Church is the outpost of the kingdom of heaven on earth. And the Catholic Church is supposed to be visible.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be a real thing. So, like,
right.
how... I think it's an American idea to assume that political power is something that we constitute a priori, right? Without... I learned what that means last week. I talked about that. It's something that we all sit down in a room, because that's what happened for America, and we're like, this is how the power in this country is going to work. Mm-hmm. And this is the best system of government that we can come up with. And that's just not how power works. Power is something that's real and that grows, like money. You know, it's like wealth or like fame. It's something that is real and someone has more of it or has less of it. And it's sometimes intangible and hard to actually enumerate, but the law is supposed to reflect actual power. The Constitution should reflect actual power. The power doesn't come from the Constitution. And so Americans think the other way around. Americans think that power comes from the Constitution.
Right.
But it's like, it's either, does the president have the power to, does the Supreme Court have the power to make abortion legal in all 50 states? Well, it did. Mm-hmm. And then it stopped. Does the FDA have the power to make a pill legal in all 50? Yeah, it did. That's what we talked about. A big question was, does the Pope have the power to depose monarchs? He did at one point. Now he does mm-hmm. not. So
he doesn't.
Now he can't. So he doesn't. It's like power is a real thing. And so when we're talking about like Christ is King, it's what Lila was saying was like, oh, we ought not have political power. It's okay. Well, some Christians do and some don't. I mean, it's. Mm-hmm. You can't separate the person from their power. You can't separate Joe Biden, the president, from Joe Biden, the Catholic. It's the same guy.
Right.
You know, that some people like to say that, oh, well, the state doesn't have a say and the state doesn't have authority to define what is true or false about God. So, well, the state's made up of people and people have the ability to figure out what's true and false about God. So why can't the state? It's
wild. To me, I mean, it's such a modern, and I mean like in the last, not like modern, how we typically say,
like the
but
last
like
couple
the last
centuries.
I'm saying like since World War II, like this is such a mm-hmm. modern thing that we've completely eliminated any type of, like when the Moors were occupying Spain, you mm-hmm. know. Christians battled for decades and for centuries to completely reconquer the Spanish peninsula from Muslims so that it would no longer be
occupied by people that opposed Christ, that it would be the, that that place would be ruled by people who believed in Christ and therefore acted with Christian principles, as in taking care of widows, taking care of the poor, having forgiveness, you know, having just laws and all these different types of things. Whereas before the society, when it was ruled by the Muslims, it was not those things. And so
it's a double standard. Sorry, you should continue. Right. I've been interrupting.
Well, no, it's fine. I'll finish up. But it's like, so take that. It's like, okay, obviously that makes sense. But then today it's like, well, because of the piece of paper, and people don't believe that it's like it's fascist to say that all power derives from the ability to enforce that power with violence, even though that's just true, you know, at the end of the day, like the power doesn't really come from the Constitution, because the Constitution doesn't have a gun. You know, it'd be better if it did. If the Constitution could come to my house and point the animated cartoon gun in my face and make me, you know, follow the laws, then that would be great. But the Constitution, all it is just some words on a piece of paper. If enough people with guns went to a place and ripped up the Constitution and said, we're in charge now, and our new Constitution is fart, pee, pee, poo, poo, and we're going to put it up on the wall, and we're going to enforce this with every power that we have, then that would be they would be in power. The Constitution doesn't mean anything. What?
One correction. You're falling into another common error of modernity.
I'm always falling into error.
May I point it out to you?
Yeah,
so
please.
This is a common error of the integralists.
Sure.
That they reduce power to coercion. So power is reduced to the ability to make someone do something against their will. Whereas real power, that is a part of power, but the extent to which you have to coerce someone is the extent to which you don't actually have power over them. So,
But I don't think I'm not coerced to not speed, but I am heavily incentivized because I don't want to get a ticket, right? And the reason, and I'm not being coerced, right, to pay the ticket, because I know that if I pay it, then it'll be over with. But if I don't pay the ticket, then I'm going to get arrested. Like at the end of the line, there will be coercion at some point.
That is coercion.
But I'm not being coerced to not speed. Like in the decision to not speed, I'm not being coerced.
Yeah, you are. You are. You're being coerced by the... Okay, hold on.
Yeah.
Coercion is when someone who has one end has someone... So it's better to reduce it to fathers and sons, because that's our first experience of power.
Sure,
right?
Sure.
When I tell Leo, if you tell your 8-year-old to be quiet in mass, and if you aren't quiet, you won't get a donut.
Yeah.
Right. That is coercive, because his end is donut, and your end is like peace and being quiet in mass.
But it's pedagogical. It's pedagogical.
Hold on.
All right.
Pedagogical. It is pedagogical. But the extent to which you have to coerce someone is the extent to which you don't have power over them. Who has more power? The father who says, please stop screaming, I'll give you a donut, or the father who like holds down his kid physically, or the father who says, when his kid starts screaming, he just looks at him and the kid stops. Or says,
kid, that doesn't exist. That's not real without any type of discipline. Like you can't
But discipline is coercive. As you grow, right? As your son grows, there's less and less coercion. And there's more and more.
So the only way to get to real power is through coercion, is what you're arguing.
The only way to get to real power is coercion is not real power. The way to get real power is when the subject and the ruler's ends are aligned.
Yes.
When everyone is aligned. And so that's like the Father Mike Scanlon example.
Mm-hmm.
He did not take control over the police by coercion.
Sure.
He took over the police by saying, our ends are aligned and I'm in charge now. We both want peace. Go do this. And there's peace.
Sure.
Right? That's real power. And so like, I guess what I'm saying is like the church has ceded all of its ground because it is allowing people to pursue ends other than Christ. And so the only power it could exert would be coercive, because everyone else's ends are different than the church's end, which is heaven. And so like what the knights were able to do was unify people who all had a common end, which was serving God by serving the poor. And they were able to use that power to enact actual social change. And the issue is that now we have a bunch of people pursuing other ends as their final end, like money, wealth, power, you know, and so it's not Christ anymore. So that's, we've ceded all of our ground. I was going to say something else about, oh yes. I was also going to say that the modern state, the modern state is defined as like the entity that has the monopoly on coercion.
Yeah.
But what that does is it neuters the state and makes it impossible to grow people in virtue. Like the perfect example of a ruler and a subject is like a father and his son who both love one another, and mm-hmm. the son respects the father's authority. And when the father says, "Hey, go do this," the son doesn't even question it, because he understands that his will and the father's will are the same. It's mm-hmm. like the power that the father and the son have in the Trinity. I'm not trying to be pedantic.
Being pedantic is the problem. And so I think there's, well, I know, but it's I think your whole point about coercion is begging the question. I think you're like, you're saying with the father and son example, it's like the father was coercive enough times to the point where the child's will was aligned with the father. So like that, so coercion caused real power. And in the same way with the church, there is like an element of, I don't want to go to hell. And the church has the power to bind my soul or loose my soul.
Sure.
So there is like a coercive element ultimately with like adhering to, and I'm not saying that like God created us to coerce us to follow him, but because of original sin and because of the way that we're warped, we need to have like our wills are fundamentally not aligned with God's when we start out, because we don't have grace. Mm-hmm. And so like we need grace to bring our wills into alignment with God. And that requires force being executed, even if it's not like physical force, the threat of sin, the pain of sin, God allows to bring us back to where we need to be. And so to say that like, oh, the real power isn't coercive, I think that is
probably, that's probably an incorrect way to say it.
Like, cause I think God allowing the pain of sin, God allowing suffering, God allowing a search for him that takes time and pain, is a way to mold people into truly being obedient and submissive to him in the way that they ought to be. So I think, and then that manifests in lots of different ways. So all I'm saying is that I just disagree with you.
I think it's probably wrong for me to say, it is wrong for me to say that power is never coercive, because obviously it's like when someone punches you in the
face,
that
it's
a form of power, exactly. But it's, I don't think it's not merely coercive.
Yeah.
And I think the reducing power to the merely coercive is what makes people frustrated and afraid when mm-hmm. someone says the Catholic Church should have power.
That's fair. Yes.
It's true that the Catholic mm-hmm. Church should have power, and that power is positive. It's not coercive.
Right.
It should be the case that the Pope issues something and mm-hmm. everyone obeys, not because they're afraid of what he's going to do, but because they love and trust him enough to
because they know he's doing the right thing. Yeah.
Or exactly. At least what he's done through prayer. And like the church globally has ceded that ground. We no longer have that. The church locally no longer sees that ground. Most bishops couldn't do that even for their priests.
Dude, imagine if a bishop like wrote to a local business leader and was like, you need to stop your usurious practices. You know, I can't imagine a bishop doing that because they don't have that authority. I think a lot of them are scared of doing that type of thing. But that's that, you're right. That is the power of like a group like the Knights of Columbus or something like that, where if you can get people on the same page, working together, loving each other, loving their community, then eventually, like the Knights of Columbus don't need to coerce people to like join them or to, you know, follow them as they gain legislative power in a small community. But once they hold legislative power, then an element of it is coercive until everybody kind of falls in line with like supporting them. So it's kind of like it like goes up and down like this.
Your point that coercion is pedagogical is huge. Teaches. And we see it with, I think we would do better to view power as the interplay of a family rather mm-hmm. than the halls mm-hmm. of Congress. It's like when we talk about a society, if we talk about rulers and subjects like fathers and sons,
mm-hmm.
Or if we talk about the church and the state as spousal, as like husband and wife, it's like if we talk about the temporal and spiritual order as like as a marriage, it's a better way to think of it. Cause this is, the family is the basic cell of society. People love saying that, but they don't think about what it means.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. it's hard. At the end of the day, we're frustrated because everything is really expensive and we're just trying to be good people and like raise our families. And where the church previously has stepped in to fill the gap, the government steps in, but instead of the government stepping in for us, the government is stepping in for people who are in the country illegally and giving them. Did you know that if you're an illegal immigrant, you get $4,500 a month for rent from the government?
That's impossible.
No, that's. I'm telling you the truth. And you get child care. You get child care. You get assistance in finding a job. You get all of your health care paid for. It's like a ludicrous amount of things that they are provided. And it's like, can you imagine if just my like mortgage was paid for and all of my health care, you know, and child care was all paid for? The types of things I would be able to do.
Checked by American patriots. True.
True.
Viral post from Lauren Boebert claims federal government is giving undocumented families $2,200 a month.
I saw something that was more than that. It was like $150 a day for a hotel stay. So.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So it's probably a stat like that that's extrapolated and it's like, oh, this is how much. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But then you could just like live in a tent and pocket that. No, I'm just kidding. It's probably not correct.
Yeah. Anyway, it's like those things like that that are just, you feel so powerless and you're like, I want to be able to not work as hard. I mean, I want to work hard, but I want to be able to not work as much and like have so much riding on my work all the time, like life or death. Like I want to be able to actually labor well, you know, and like be virtuous in my work and kind of be in communion with my work and all these things that are like make for a fruitful relationship. And, but I just can't. Because I can't have a healthy relationship with work in a world that doesn't have a healthy relationship with money. And so I'm just like stuck here. And it means that my Holy Thursday is ruined at the end of the day.
Yeah. Well, maybe one day we'll figure it out and we'll be able to, we'll have a parallel economy and the church will have created a separate, I don't think anyone wants that. I think people are afraid of it.
The parallel economy?
Yeah, I think people are. I think Catholics are too afraid of being like the Crusades. They're like, they don't want to do the Crusades again.
Everyone already hates us. Like, why are we waiting?
I know. We might as well just own it. But no, it's so funny because when you look at it's a double standard.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to describe to you an organization and you tell me what organization I'm describing.
Okay.
A group that sent soldiers across the world to go to the Middle East and reestablish their rule in a Muslim occupied country by force and established their state religion and subjected the people there according to their own interests. Oh, am I describing the Crusades? No, I'm describing the state of Israel. That's what happened. The UN did what the Catholic Church did. Come on, it's what happened. We were there. We saw it. And it's like, am I going to get Candace Owen?
Well, no one can cancel us because we are
have no money.
We're independent journalists and we have no money and no influence.
If you look at the way that the global West has behaved, it's just done what the Catholic Church has done. Set up an international organization of countries united for one purpose, right? Like it's the UN serves what function the Catholic Church did, reestablishing the Holy Land, like literally doing that. I said literally, now I'm a liberal. But the it's funny because it's like the things that the church did, they had their reasons. Mm-hmm. And the things that the West did, they had their reasons. And the reason was World War II, right? Like that's the reason why the UN was set up. That's the reason why the State of Israel was set up, et cetera, et cetera. But like they had their reasons. And it's the Catholic Church is I think still kind of, we're on our back foot in terms of the way that we view ourselves as an international organization, as a church, as a global church.
I think we've really drank the Kool-Aid in terms of, you know,
I'll say
thank you guys for what you've done. You know, thanks for the hospitals and for the universities and for the churches.
We'll take it from here. Yeah.
We'll take it from here. You know, you can kind of keep doing what you're doing. You know, we're not going to interfere too much. But just don't really get in the way. And we're just kind of like, okay. Cause there's this acceptance of like what Lila was saying, like, oh, it's not our place to have that type of political power. We just need to be humble because our kingdom is not of this world. And it's like this acceptance of like,
it's cognitive dissonance.
Yeah. It doesn't make any sense.
People will take that you said that and say, great. We should keep abortion legal then, because you know what people individually define as a religious belief versus a moral truth. Mm-hmm. How are those, you know, if the state has no ability to define what is religiously true or false, eventually you'll be able to permit murder because God did have to tell people. We forget that. It sounds so simple, don't kill people, but God did have to say that. He was like, guys, yeah.
Hey,
it's number five,
friends. Man, it's hard because it's like the president, right? Where people think like a new pope is going to fix everything. But I think there's just like, we've just been fully lied to about like the place of Christians in society.
Mm-hmm.
And unless we reclaim it one level at a time, like a new pope is not going to do a whole lot, you know, even if he's electric, you know, because you still have a ton of bishops that are not electric and a ton of cardinals that are not. So I don't know, man. I guess I will just keep paying my mortgage, man. I guess that's what I'll do. I want to answer dating questions. Let's get out of here.
Dating corner.
Let's do our second podcast that will go up on Easter Wednesday during the Octave.
This episode of The Crunch is sponsored by, oh shoot, we have sponsors for next week. No, not today. Oh. Not today's episode. We have sponsors starting in April. So okay. We have a sponsor starting on, yeah.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah. Okay.
Great.
Great. This episode is sponsored by the Convince Your Friends Toolkit. Go to thecrunchcast.com/toolkit to get your Convince Your Friends Toolkit for free. And also go to goodeggfund.org because they're awesome. And
just always
we owe
go
them
to
forever.
Fund.
Yeah. They're Katie, a perpetual sponsor.
Katie Ruvalcaba has done more for me than I care to admit publicly.
Yes.
And so just the best. So if you ever have any extra money and you want to give it away, give it to the Good Egg Fund because I just saw this. They paid for like an entire, a teenage girl got pregnant and she had a registry and they were able to buy her entire baby registry with the Good Egg Fund. So like that's the type of stuff that is supported with what Katie does. So if you've got 10 bucks or $100,000, if you have $100,000, maybe split it between us and Katie. I'm sure she will be fine with that. But if you have $10, give it all to Katie. And we have patreon.com/crunch. We do an extra podcast every week. We also have exclusive community and community events on Discord, bit.ly/crunchdiscord. If you're a patron, you get access to exclusive chats and bonus things and special things that no one else has access to. So patreon.com/crunch for a free $10 a month weekly bonus show. That's patreon.com/crunch, bit.ly/crunchdiscord. Patrick, do you have anything else for the people?
If you want to buy a bunch of property, if you happen to be a property investor and want to buy a bunch of property in Melbourne and sell it at a loss, call me.
Thank you all for listening. Please pray for us. We'll be praying for you. And we'll see you all next time. Goodbye.